Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
What's up, everybody? It is another episode of Hell's Kitchen to Juggle out there, and we have a guest in the studio. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
Frank, it's me and you, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah. See, I don't do that. Like,
man, I'm so into it.
Yeah, they just
it's so
they
good.
Get into it, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
No, just let it happen. Feel it.
No,
feel it.
I'm not. I'm yes. gonna put my arms at my sides
do
like
it.
This. No, I'm refusing.
We got you. Yes.
I'm refusing. See, Amanda didn't do it. See?
No, you just kind of got to do the, like,
no, yeah, okay, no. We'll get it rolling.
No, no.
Oh, gosh. What's up, everybody? You know what it is. Another episode of Hell's Kitchen. I'm your host, Lim Gonzalez, and you can find me everywhere at The Poet Saint all day, every day. Also, check out my website, stayonthemic.com. Next to me is the ever-vescent one. That is my home girl, Ashley Chaney. Ashley on camera. What's up?
It actually scared me when you said that.
I was like, that was fear. I saw fear.
I was hoping to like milk a few more compliments out, and then
okay.
I got scared. Hey, everybody. It's Ashley. Good to see you here on this, you know, fiery evening.
Yes.
On the Hell's Kitchen After Show. Hope you all are safe out there. Find me on social media and let's talk. You can do that at Ashley on camera. I want to hear from you guys.
Absolutely.
Hi.
I'm going to throw it all the way to the far side. You know, my man, he's over there with the Ghostbusters shirt, always looking his best.
That's right. I just rolled out of 8th grade, coming here to do a show.
Yes.
Look at me. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's Frank Moran, for those of you who don't know.
And there's no reason that you should. You should not know me. If you do, then there's a problem.
It's a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an in-studio guest, and I'm super excited because she is here, and she is with us, and she's super dope. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. We already got the applause going for Amanda Palomino. What is up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I drove 2.5 hours to see you.
You did. And
yes.
with
through
presents.
Through fire.
Yes.
Guys.
Through fire.
Through fire.
With presents.
Yes.
With these.
I'm going to get the shot of this.
Mm-hmm.
But these are amazing cupcakes that we are going to devour. I don't know if I'm going to last to the end of the show. I'm just saying.
It's funny to me that you guys think you're getting some of those.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
I told you. Just give me the lemon. Just give me the lemon.
We'll
I'm going to be good.
The lemon.
And then, you know, that's it. That's all she wrote. But Amanda, these are from the bakery that you work at?
So these are from the bakery that I manage. It's called Too Good to Be. We're in Rancho Bernardo, California. And we are completely gluten, corn, and soy free. So those of you who watch the show know that I have a huge problem because I have celiac disease, which puts a lot of my cooking to the test because I can't eat a lot of things. But I have found a place to work that harbors my food sensitivities.
That's really dope.
Where I don't have to worry every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have an, I mean, just speaking of that, I mean, you've now done Hell's Kitchen twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did that ever present a problem filming with all the
Several
food that you
times.
Worked? It did.
Yeah, actually, so filming season 15, there was a couple small instances, but there was a lot of talk about celiac disease that I did off camera that never got aired. My signature dish actually was specifically gluten-free because we were told to put ourselves on a plate. And so I did something gluten-free. And of course, Gordon ripped me apart for it and was like, well, I'm not gluten-free, so why should you give me that? And I was like, well, but they told me to give myself to you.
Right.
So, of course, none of it ever got aired, which I was really upset about because I really wanted to have a little bit of a platform for those of us who do have celiac disease that want to cook and have a lot of restrictions with what we can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
And show that you can kind of overcome it with a lot of different ways.
I got to mention that it's more challenging, though, in a Hell's Kitchen environment. Because in a regular kitchen, everybody's supporting each other because you want to have a good service.
Yeah.
But there's that element of competition in a kitchen like Hell's Kitchen where they, if they can sell you down the river by not helping you by, like, maybe tasting some of your pasta, they will do
and so. I know exactly. Absolutely. Like, Michelle threw me under the bus a couple times in one of the episodes before by not helping me out.
Right.
And then this time around, there was two instances when I got really sick from something that I ate offset and something I didn't make for myself.
Oh.
And it really, really hurt me. Because if I get glutened, it's days where I'm messed up.
You're down.
Like, just mentally, too. I'm just, like, exhausted and very lethargic, and I don't feel well. And there's so many symptoms that go along with having celiac disease that don't present themselves as, like, a physical issue.
Right.
So this time around, it was actually really difficult. And, you know, making that very known to everybody, saying, like, look, I can't eat pasta. I won't eat pasta. Like, you guys need to help me. Like, that was hard.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially in a competition.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm just going to jump ahead to the end. We normally kind of break it down from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to go to the end. And I feel like you got robbed. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone shares my sentiments.
Shared.
But, yeah, I was like, I did not. Because I'm watching the episode and I'm like, okay. This is going on. Obviously, there's a lot going on with Elise and Michelle. That was kind of the theme of this episode from the beginning to the end.
And what you didn't see was me mediating between the two of them a lot. Like, I always tend to, both seasons, I inadvertently took on, like, a mommy role where I was like, okay, guys, like, let's calm down. Let's not be psychotic, whatever. And if you notice, almost all the time, you see me, like, sitting in the background, like, smoking a cigarette, like, just looking at him, like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I saw you come in at one scene, and you looked a little scared. there was a little bit of fear in you. I think you had a cigarette going on. I don't know what happened with that, but it was, like, really a glimpse. And you walked in, and it was just like, oh, Amanda looks scared. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of times, but it was most of the time, I mean, it was a lot of drama going on. I mean, Van had it right. Ratchet Reds.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fighting.
I love that. I love that.
He's so funny.
Yeah. He really is.
But, I mean, did you think, I mean, everyone, no one wants to go home. Obviously, you're there for a reason. Some people concede to, like, yeah, it was my time to go. Mm-hmm. Do you felt it was your time to go at that point, or did you feel like
Bottom line is that I screwed up. Like, I really screwed up that service. There was a ticket that wasn't called, that I did not hear get called, and I screwed up. And my screw up weeded our kitchen. That is the bottom line. I messed up, and I took accountability for that. Mm. Whether or not I felt like it was my time to go home is a different story. I felt like, you know, I was a stronger member on that team than some other people. Mm-hmm. I felt that that team was stronger with me than without me. And I think that I probably could have gone on, had I not screwed up so royally that one time, I probably could have gone a lot farther.
Do you think, would you have chosen Barbie over you?
To be perfectly honest, I would have chosen Elise over me.
Really?
Yeah.
She, the girl is trouble, okay? She's drama. She's I know trouble. You love her and she's great. And she's great. But she is a rabble rouser.
She is.
But she can cook.
She can cook. But the question is, can she lead the kitchen? And what Gordon Ramsay is looking for is somebody to lead his flagship Hell's Kitchen restaurant in Vegas. And I don't think that that's somebody that can.
To Frank's point, though, I mean, you guys are in a pressure cooker. Like, you have to imagine that once you're in a kitchen, like, that's not a reality competition that you're going to want to be working together.
No, it's crazy.
So I would be so curious to see how Elise is in a regular kitchen.
In a regular type kitchen.
Yeah.
The one thing I always like is when Gordon does call two chefs up there, and his opening line is like, "Man, have you given up?"
And like, what are you gonna say?
Yeah,
I've given up. Yeah, you got me.
Can I get the red eye actually? Because I got things to do back in New Jersey. Right, come on.
But everybody takes it so well. Like I was waiting. I would be bawling. Like, and you're just like, okay, thanks. It's been great. Like if he took my jacket, I would start crying like immediately.
No, I think like I mean I. I watched that scene a couple times because, like, I couldn't, for the life of me, after, like, thinking about all of it and after, I mean, we filmed this back in January, I could not remember how I left.
Yeah. Really?
Like, I could not remember, like, if I went out screaming and yelling at people or if I could not remember.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I watched it a couple times because I was trying to remember the whole thing. Because they're only showing you a tiny little instance of the 45 minutes that they keep you outside in the cold. Like, after you've been sweaty and, like, gross in a t-shirt. So I was trying to remember, and that's really how it went. Like, me saying, hey, you guys be good to each other, and I'm out. Like, see you later.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to cry. It was, you know, it was what it was. It's a competition. I have nothing to do with it. Like, there was no amount of fighting that I could do to, like, change it at that moment.
To change it at that point.
And so at that moment, it was just like, all right, can I get some in and out now?
How long did that argument go while Chef Ramsay saying, listen, 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 and everybody's just bickering on the red team.
Yeah.
How long did that go on?
I think you saw me kind of like doing this a lot. Like, I was just, I think that's why I left as gracefully as I did. And I turned around and I turned around and I said, you guys be good to each other. Like, be nice. Stop
and that was for the purpose of the arguments that happened.
Because they were
happening.
All just like, and that's the downfall of the red team right now, is just that there's just too many mouths going, and too much noise. There's too much noise in the kitchen. I was trained to work in a quiet kitchen. Like, you say, yes, chef, no, chef, nothing.
Quiet kitchen.
Quiet kitchen. Like, there's not even music.
I don't think that's
music.
Ever going to happen in Hell's Kitchen.
And it never will. But there's so much noise going on that you can't hear each other. And that's the problem.
So, okay. So let's say, I mean, you mentioned Elise should have gone home in this particular instance. Do you think, because your team, Red Team, has been suffering the entire season.
It's been painful.
It's been, like, really bad.
There's ratchet reds.
Really bad.
Can't get it together.
Do you think if Elise was out of the equation, and it was a different chef, do you think that you all would have been stronger than the blue team as far as winning challenges and winning dinner services?
That is a hard question. The blue team has a lot of really strong chefs, really strong, that are focused and driven. And I think that's the key, is that focus. I think the red team has a lot of very strong chefs that don't have that same focus that the blue team has. And I think that is the issue. Right now, what's happening. I think that having very loud, very combative personalities on the team, there's a difference between being loud and strong and being loud and combative.
Sure.
In my opinion, in my, you know, 33 years of life, I've learned that most of the time when people are combative, it's because they're being defensive.
Oh, for sure.
And they have something to feel like they need to live up to.
Sure.
What do you think about Michelle as, like, a leader of the red team? I mean,
Michelle is young and strong.
Yeah.
Michelle is a badass chef.
She is. I look at her, I'm like, how could anybody...
Is that your dark horse?
No, my silent horse.
Silent horse. Yeah, sorry.
My silent horse.
Silent horse. Excuse me.
My silent horse is Jennifer.
Jennifer. Oh, okay. That's
and
the
I'm
silent
still...
horse.
She's still my silent horse. Mm. Silent horse is a name that we... It's an exclusive term here at AfterBuzz, which is when I don't know what dark horse means. It's silent horse. She's a silent horse for the season, right. Y'all.
I think Michelle is... I mean, because she's so young and because she is so focused and driven, I think she has a really great chance of going really far. Not just in the competition, but in life.
Right.
And I think that she's has an amazing opportunity ahead of her because she is so young right now.
She's the youngest one. She's the youngest one in the competition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in Hell's Kitchen history? If I want to say. I'm not sure.
I remember them saying something about it at the beginning of the season.
She's really young. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a lot of times off camera when her and I would talk, like, she would, she was very upset about the arguing that was going on between her and Elise. And I would be like, look, like, you kind of just got to take it as it is. Mm-hmm. I think that if she can kind of, like, hone that in and mature a little bit, then she can be whatever the hell she wants to be in her life. Yeah.
It's hard to shut Elise down. I mean,
she's in your face.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I want to ask about Elise with punishments, because I always feel like, When she feels like she excelled in a challenge, and they lose still, she's like, I shouldn't be doing
that. I don't know that last challenge where we were at the horse farm shoveling shit, man. She was kicking ass.
She did,
we were having her and I were having fun together. Like, we were having a good time until, like, I had to start screaming at Josh. And even after I screamed at Josh, she was like, I got you, girl. And I was like, okay, cool, because I'm a little scared right now.
I think we had Josh on the show for that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we did.
He's
we did.
A little shit.
Hey, there it is.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, you first.
Hi, Josh.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Whatever.
When Josh did come over to the red team, I know that he really kind of butted heads with Elise real up front, too. And it felt like, at least in the promos for the week prior, it made it feel like, oh yeah, like Danny's going to hop on board and kind of side with Josh. Like, oh yeah, you know, you are loud and you're kind of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't show that in the episode. Do you feel like it was, did you guys kind of agree with Josh? And it's like, but we're not going to say anything because we're going to be...
So what I always like to remind people is that you're seeing 42 minutes of a 16 plus hour day.
Right.
So the editing is very, very key in this. And the producers are only going to show you what they want to show you. What you don't see is a lot of the, you know, side talking and, like, a lot of the, like, not super fun stuff. Like, the very mediocre, you know, like, let's sit out on the patio and smoke a cigarette and just chat about our day. The promos, I feel like, are always, like, so much drama. And then, like, you get to the next season, the next episode, none of that happened.
Right.
But when Josh came over with the red team... none of us were happy about him coming over the red team, but it wasn't because of Josh. It wasn't Josh we were upset about. It was the change of our team.
Mm-hmm.
It was the taking away of Rodman and replacing somebody else when we had just kind of started to hit our stride as a team.
I feel like that was one of the only real moments that the red team was...
Yeah, like, we had just kind of got to where we wanted to be, and then all of a sudden, GR changed it, and we were like, no, like, why?
What are you doing?
So it wasn't Josh that we had a problem with. It was the change that we had a problem with.
I see.
And when Josh came over to the team, they showed Michelle kind of pulling him aside and saying, hey, listen, like, you need to come in with an open mind because we have a lot of very strong females that are very loud. And he didn't want to take that advice. And then what they didn't show you was pretty much everybody on the red team kind of having that same conversation, saying, like, look, you got to kind of, like, just come in and be part of the team.
He kind of has that a very similar personality, which is he's a strong presence. You know, he's got a strong personality.
And he's a little bitchy.
It's a strong personality.
Translation. What basically is being said.
So we weren't upset about him. We were just upset about the change. But then when he put out our fire and didn't want to own up to that shit, like, and I just wanted to hit him with a freaking shovel, like, and then, like, when he wouldn't even help me. No.
Well, as he came on the show and he explained, I don't know why I'm, like, defending Jake.
But go ahead.
He came on the show and explained he had, like, an engineer's perspective for how to shovel the shit more effectively.
Of course he did.
And it was like, well, you put it in the bucket first, and then you put it in the barrel, and then from the barrel you put it in the thing. So it was like he thought he was working smarter, not harder. What can you say about that?
It's shit. Like, get over yourself, bro. Like, for real. It. Like, I have no fucking time for this.
Well, I feel like he did come in there with something to prove. And I feel like he came, I mean, from what we saw, the perspective we saw, he came in guns blazing. Like, okay, y'all need to listen to me because, you know, you aren't good. And I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what
I'm... And the fact is that you are not good. Right. So, sorry about your life.
Mansplaining it is what the term
mansplaining.
Is.
Mansplaining. That's exactly what it is. And you can't do that to a bunch of, you know, to 12 angry, bitchy women you know, haven't seen a chocolate bar in 5 weeks.
As soon as I see
them. Why haven't you seen a chocolate bar? What's that about?
We're in sequester, so we only see what they give us.
And they don't give you a chocolate?
I mean, if we ask for it, yeah, but I mean, how many times do you really think about needing a chocolate bar?
So many times a day.
I mean, but do you think about it enough to put it on a list?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Do they give you Hennessy?
No, beer and wine, and that's it, and crappy beer and wine, and that's it, and not until they say that it's okay for us
to have it,
and then we're supposed to have a 2-drink maximum.
Oh, I would not.
Yeah, even like half the time on challenges and stuff. If you see, like, a lot of times on rewards, if you see a team drinking champagne, more than likely it's actually apple cider.
Really?
Yeah,
that is wrong.
Yeah,
The
TV. Way we figured it out was if we were doing, if we were going into dinner service that night, because they don't tell us what, like, we don't wake up in the morning. They're not somebody that's like, okay, so at 10 o'clock we're going to do this and 11 o'clock we're going to do, you know, we don't get that. We get woken up and then it's just like, wait and see.
And see what happens.
Yeah, so we would figure out if we had to do dinner service that night by
champagne or no
champagne. Champagne or champagne.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Are you perpetually exhausted while you're doing the
show?
Always.
100%.
Do they give you any downtime to at least kind of recharge?
No.
Or no?
Not at all. It's just, wow. Not at all.
Go.
Even like simple things that you forget that are like a luxury in your life, like turning on and off the lights in your bedroom, you don't have. The lights in the house are controlled by production.
Oh, really?
So, like, if everybody else in the house is, like, up partying and being crazy on the patio, and you're, like, that one person that's like, screw it, I know we're going to have a crazy challenge tomorrow, I'm going to bed early, you go in your room, you go to sleep, you got studio lights on.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, like, cocoon yourself.
To not have light.
And then
eyes.
They don't turn the lights off until they decide to turn the lights off. And then in the morning, when they want you to wake up, studio lights come on.
It's like the Truman Show.
Yes. It's exactly
well, I mean, like and that would, I think, also aid. We also have, you can't see him, but we have Anthony from season 11 in the house. And he's over here nodding like, yes, I've been through that. Yes, mm-hmm. I know all about that.
Yes.
But I think that also aids into the psychosis of, you know, how everybody gets and being, you know, like you said, no chocolate or no alcohol or no sleep, you're going to be acting a certain way. And that might not be how you normally are, but that's why you're
just
going to feed into the show.
For Elise.
Well, I mean, it is. Look, she just needed some chocolate, everybody.
Yeah.
I will give Elise this.
She really just needed some chocolate.
Whatever. I will say this about Elise. I do not know Elise personally. Mm. I've never worked with her in a separate event. There's a lot of Hell's Kitchen people that I've worked with in other events. That's how I met Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that I know off of the Hell's Kitchen set.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten to be friends. We have common interests, whatever. I've never worked with, spoken to, or interacted with Elise off of season 17.
Wait, so who do you hang out with? Let's hear the juice.
Who do you hang out with
from Hell's Kitchen? Who are your buddies?
So Barbie Marshall's one of my very, very good friends. Oh. She's a Philly girl, so her and I do a lot of events together. Who else? Megan Gill was really cool. Latasha's really awesome. Frankie Bellotti we love. Who else?
Cool.
Trying to think of who else.
Much longer list.
I mean, there's a lot of people.
How many seasons? 17?
17, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of seasons.
So there's a lot of people that I know off of the sets.
Right.
And there's even people from my own season where I got to know them off of the set, from season 15 where I got to know them off of the set, mm-hmm. and turned out to really, really enjoy them.
Oh, that's cool.
Like Ashley from season 15. Mm-hmm. I adore her, Ashley Nicole.
Yes.
Absolutely adore her. On set, I thought she was kind of annoying, mm-hmm. but she's great in real life.
In real life.
At least I do not know like that.
Okay.
I know that
she's probably great in real life.
Had I met her, like I would probably enjoy parts of her. From what I know right now, I don't. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Word. Let's get off my girl.
Sorry.
And, let's,
I'm sorry.
Let's dive into this
she's
episode.
She's got giant
real
muscles,
quick.
Though. Yeah. Like, she, so, she does I mean, have she can totally kick. She could kick my ass. Yeah. And so I'm going to say, I love Elise.
So, in this particular episode, you guys come in and the kitchen is turned into a jungle, which looks crazy.
It was cool, out of Jumanji or something. It was cool.
It was cool?
Yeah. Was it cool?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few times when the set gets changed and it's like, sometimes it's like cheesy and stupid and like sometimes it's like, that was one of those times that it was like,
it was dope. I thought what was uncool was spearing the styrofoam ingredients. I did think that was uncool.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the set looked cool. I was like, oh, okay. And then they got the spears and I'm like, oh,
the spears were sharp too.
And then I'm like, oh, they're going
boxes.
To stab.
They're stabbing pizza boxes.
Styrofoam ingredient boxes and they have to keep it on this. Like, that's weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. These challenges this season have been
subpar.
Some real weak sauce.
So yeah,
the challenges have been strange.
Did that
I don't know
jungle take over the whole dining room?
The whole dining room, even like, but they went bananas with it. They even like brought it up the stairs and like to the upstairs too. Like
really?
The whole thing was like covered in trees. It was cool.
I mean, I feel like they could have put their energy
up lights everywhere, and there was like
you
and it was cool.
Didn't like the stabbing of the boxes. I'm just saying. I mean, the premise, I get it. I think it was cool that you know, okay,
but
you got
we didn't
the
have to
board.
Stab any like meat products. We just stabbed vegetables.
Right, but I mean, well, the boar, the venison, and the elk
were the
proteins.
Spears,
right?
Right.
So you're stabbing leeks and stuff of that. Yeah, that apples. Stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, the premise of it is just like I would have preferred if you actually stabbed like a real like something,
like a boar,
like so, yeah,
like a
that
would have
been
human.
Dope. Like an actually game. Like a
in
boar.
The jungle setting. There's a
so,
boar.
You know what? Funny enough, what was it? 2 episodes ago or 3 episodes ago when we went outside and we saw the pen of animals.
Yes.
The first thing that went through my mind was, we're going to have to wrestle one of these damn animals, and I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Because
Well, that's happened before.
I'm
sure
it has.
That's in several seasons.
So what most people don't realize is that I have this ridiculous fear of birds.
Oh.
Huge fear of birds. And it doesn't matter. Like, little tiny finches, it doesn't matter if it's a little tiny finch or a giant ostrich. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near it. I run, I scream. I'm at the zoo, and I scream because the bird's flying near me. I don't do birds. So we go out, and I'm like, because like a couple nights beforehand, Barbie and I were talking about like, what are we afraid of? And I was like, I'm afraid of birds, and I don't like them. And then 2 days later, what do you know? We go out there, and there's freaking chickens out there. I was like, bitch.
I
was so scared.
Yeah. Wasn't that an Alfred Hitchcock movie?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I've like never seen it, and I won't watch it.
Yeah, it's not one you're going to want to watch.
Yeah, I don't want to
see that.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that.
No. Ain't
so
nobody got
with
time.
This particular challenge, you had to hunt for your ingredients via the boxes, and then you had to take turns, and you got 5 ingredients per protein, and then 2 chefs per team had to cook each protein. From each team. So, and then there was one where it was just one person that had to cook. So, and you thought boar had rabies? Is that true?
No, come on. I know boars don't have rabies.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you said it. I know there's editing, but I mean, you didn't say that though, right?
I mean, I just, yeah. Like, what's a boar? Like, yeah. Who eats boar?
Right.
It's just pig.
It's kind of like bacon.
Yeah. Right? It's wild pig.
Just eat a pig.
Okay.
Just eat a domestic pig.
Right,
it's probably cheaper.
To not have rabies. Got
it. So that you don't get rabies and die.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know.
Right. It's all good.
I'm from South Jersey, okay?
Right.
Like,
no
we don't have
there.
Any of that nonsense.
Yeah. There's no animals in Jersey.
No, there's plenty of animals. It's just, you know, the animals that we raised on the farm, and then we, you know, we named it something cute and pretended to like it, and then was like, here, T-Bone, get on the truck. We're going to go to a happy place.
Oh.
And then we bring it back and we eat it.
Really
okay.
Sad.
Wow.
It's just
okay.
A circle of life.
But that's not disturbing at all. Speaking of boar, you were cooking boar, and your boar was raw at first.
Yeah, it was super underdone.
Is it? Do you think that, or was it different cooking that than pork?
Yeah,
it is
huge.
A huge difference.
Huge, and really? I had never cooked with that before. I mean, I think with any new protein that you cook, there's always like a little bit of a learning curve. You can always say, okay, like poultry is poultry and red meat is red meat. But even with like boar, like you want that served a little bit more on the medium side, where with pork,
you can't. Yeah.
You can't.
Like if you serve that pink, like Gordon's going to spear you in the brain.
Right. It's
like,
a wrap.
Yeah. Like ain't nobody got time for that. So anytime in any kitchen I've ever worked in, where I have a new protein or a new ingredient, it doesn't matter if it's a vegetable or a protein, there's always like a test that I do with like, how am I supposed to cook it? What tastes good? What happens if I do this? What happens if I overcook it, you know? And in Hell's Kitchen, you don't get that.
Right.
And so with boar, that was the first time I had ever even seen it.
Did you taste it? Did you get to eat your dish?
No. Okay. No. I just know that I sliced that sucker open and I was like, that shit's raw.
That's raw.
And I can't serve it. And so what am I going to do? Like either A, I'm going to serve it raw, or B, I'm going to throw it into a hot pan and get it at least up to temp and probably screw it anyway.
And
that's exactly what I did.
And they called you out on it.
Absolutely.
So
it's like, what was I supposed to do? Serve it raw or serve it overcooked?
And the they that you're referring to, of course, are John and Vinny from the John and Vinny Restaurant Group.
Absolutely.
Animal, which I have been to here in L.A.
How is it? I've always wondered about that place.
You haven't been to them? You usually go to all the restaurants.
You know what? Frank, I'm not going to do that with you today.
Yep.
I'm going to all restaurants.
It's very
but I
good.
Have heard about it.
Animals.
We can go because I haven't been either.
Okay, dope.
Right. It's really,
I'm still
really
new
good.
To Southern California.
Okay.
So.
All their restaurants are great. Animal, Son of a Gun.
They have quite a few.
I know of Animal, Son of a Gun, and then the third is like something French that I can't pronounce and I haven't been to yet.
Okay.
But very good. Awesome. They're cool guys.
Field trip.
Yeah.
So Van wins the board challenge on that group. And then there was Venison, which Elise won.
Her Venison looked banging.
Yeah.
She did good.
Yeah.
She did really well.
Always does good.
Which and I know how to cook venison. I was so mad about that.
You hot in that fall sweater over there?
I was just like stating facts.
I know how to cook venison though. Like my brother hunts every winter in New Jersey.
Why didn't you have venison? What?
Huh?
You weren't loud enough?
I didn't get to pick it.
Oh, it didn't work that way.
It was just like, here, this is yours.
Oh, and you just had to work with it.
Much yeah. more common, I feel like, than boar,
right.
for sure.
I know how to cook that. I don't know how to cook boar.
Okay.
So at no point they asked you, like, hey, who wants to cook this?
No,
this?
Never.
They're just like, nope, you're doing this.
No.
This particular one, you were assigned with the protein. Got it. Elk was the last one, and Robin won, which I was very surprised.
Absolutely.
Robin's a strong cook.
Is she? Like, because I feel like...
I'm also like...
I'm always like... I say this, and no shade, but I feel like she's been there a little too long.
Robin has not been showing her best right now.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I don't know. Rob. So I might be a little bit biased because Robin's my girl. You saw when I got eliminated, she was the only one that was crying because Robin's my girl. We had a lot of snuggle time off, on set. But she's a strong cook. She just sucks under pressure.
That's what
she
it is.
She buckles under pressure and she's like too like neurotic and she thinks too much.
You can kind of tell,
can kind of
tell.
Part of being a chef and part of especially being a chef on Hell's Kitchen is learning to just not think. Just do what you know what to do and like kind of like do what is in your gut.
Right.
And just act on it.
Don't
instead
overthink.
Of like overthinking it, yeah.
What she could have done without was all the baby.
I'm like, that was funny, that little montage.
A little much, girl.
That was hilarious.
But I did like her just like, I'm going to watch Benjamin. And what he does, I'll just follow
along. Exactly.
Right.
I'll do that. He turns it, I'll turn it. All right.
There it is.
Robin. Yep.
That was funny.
My Robin.
Which still didn't work for her.
She's better than Benjamin did.
No, I mean, yeah, exactly. So because of Robin, the blue team ended up winning, and they ended up going to Hummingbird Nest Ranch, which is this bougie spot that had all this caviar.
That didn't look fun to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have had caviar, but like...
On sushi?
Like on sushi. Yeah. I haven't had like what they were doing.
I actually haven't either, because I have. Thought of it. It makes me
it's not that great. I don't know.
Does it taste like fish?
It tastes like salt.
I heard it's very salty.
It's briny.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's like, the fun part about it is like popping it against like the back of your teeth and then it's just kind of weird. I don't know.
Millie
I'm not
loved
a fan.
It though.
Yeah. Oh, Millie was making sweet love.
Yeah. I was waiting for some like Barry White to be playing.
Did I just do my Barbie Marshall face? Right, yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Millie liked it.
That was
Millie
funny.
From Philly.
Millie's
my boy. I love Millie.
No, he's cool.
Millie was the one person that when he walked in on day one when we were all in the green room, when he walked in, I was so excited to see Millie. I love Millie. He's just such a good presence to be around.
He seems like cool people.
No, he does. No.
And he's so giant and cuddly and huge. Like, I mean, I'm 4'11 and he's like 6'7 or something like that.
Wow,
humongous.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And so, like, anytime, even when he comes down to Atlantic City to do an event, like, anytime I see him, I, like, run up to him and, like, jump on top of him. It's really funny.
That's
the thing I like about Millie in this episode is at the top when Elise is going crazy on the patio, and there's Millie just sitting there, just standing there. not saying anything. He's like, all right.
No. Millie is the epitome of a gentle giant. Yeah. He's awesome. He's so kind.
Word. So you guys actually get the privilege and pleasure of cleaning the dorms, which seemed like an amazing fun time.
They need to be cleaned.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
A couple hours.
Yeah.
Not even. It's a 4-bedroom dorm.
All right.
It's not huge.
So they make it look worse than...
Yeah. I mean, I think this time around we were... I mean, I don't know. I guess both times around they made it seem like we were a lot more dirty than we were. Like,
well, the burger patties... It seemed weird.
Yes.
I was like, burger patties just hanging out. And those are Millie's bites.
Probably.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it's burger. And I think Wendy's took it and was just like, I hope he didn't was saving these. Because that would be disgusting, actually. So let's get into dinner service. And so we see Wendy actually helping, which I thought was interesting. And she was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Because, you know, speaking of Elise, she was helping her with her dish. And, you know, normally from what we see. Again, what is shown to us. Seemed like Elise is on it. She doesn't need any help, doesn't really ask for help. And this time she was needing help. What do you know what was going on with that? Because was it a new dish or why was Wendy helping
her?
No.
Michelle?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, sorry.
Who is Wendy? So if I'm remembering correctly, Elise was on cold apps, correct? She was doing like salads and stuff?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think that was just a station that she hadn't worked on before. Cold apps has a lot of ingredients. And a lot of the salads are, this time around, all of the salads were composed. So season 15, all of our salads kind of got thrown together in a bowl, and we sent the whole bowl up to the pass, and then Chef Christina plated everything. This time around, everything was composed at our station, and they were very specific about what goes where. So it was like 5 pieces of salmon that were staggered, and then 3 dots of this and 2 dots of this, and it was very, very composed.
I see.
So if I'm remembering correctly, that was the first time Elise had ever been on that station, and Jennifer had actually been on that station twice before.
I see.
She had that station down.
So that was why.
And I think that's why, you know, and I'm pretty sure that everybody that was on that station, whoever they were next to, they were screaming out like, hey, 2 of this, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. 3 of this, right? Yes, okay. But that kind of goes throughout the kitchen, you know? At any station that you're on, you're yelling to the person next to you like, hey, I'm doing this right? And they're like, yeah, because at the end of the day, you're given a brand new menu and all these brand new recipes in a book, and it's thrown at you. And it's like, by the way, you have dinner service tonight.
Right.
Good luck.
How about it?
Try not to suck.
Makes sense.
Is there a station that everybody just pretty much generally hates, or it kind of varies from person to person?
I think it varies from person to person. Like, I hate garnish. Hate garnish. Even season 15, I sucked at garnish.
And that seemed like that for a non-cook.
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like that would
that's
be the easiest
where I'd
one.
Want to be.
It seems like it's the easiest, but there's a lot going on. And the problem with it is that if, like, your garnish that is going with the beef Wellington gets fucked, then your garnish is screwed and you have to start all over. So on garnish, a ticket gets called and you mise en place yourself out. You're like, okay, here's my beef Wellington, here's my lobster Wellington, here's my salmon, whatever. You place yourself out. And then when the beef Wellington goes up and it goes back, you can't hold vegetables.
Right.
So you got to go and like reconfigure everything.
I see.
It's a lot of organization. It's a lot of things to think about. I personally am really bad at garnish. Michelle, awesome on garnish.
Amazing.
I am really good at hot apps. I love hot apps. That was my favorite station. I could rock hot apps all day long. There's other people like Ashley Nickel hates hot apps.
Hate apps.
Okay. Hates it.
Individual, okay.
And I can't even eat pasta and I still like it.
So that explains that. We see John Resnick make a little cameo appearance. Jennifer goes nuts over that.
Yeah, I didn't know who he
Loser.
Was.
I did not know who he was either. I'm just like,
I don't know. I was like, who is this Botox person?
Yes.
His skin he had some work.
Ooh.
Some
sorry,
work.
Sorry, John Resnick. I'm sure you're awesome.
Whoever you are.
You struggled a little bit with the pork. That's when you forgot.
Well, I didn't hear.
I
didn't hear the call get put. The call come for pork, and pork is funny on this new menu because pork actually comes off of the fish station.
Oh, really?
Wow. Who'd have thunk?
Huh?
But that's because the grill is right there.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't hear it get called, and therefore I didn't throw it down. And if I had thrown it down and heard it, then I would've been fine.
You'd have been good.
But I didn't hear it, and so. And it's a double bone pork chop, so it's a 20-minute pickup.
You have to cook it all the way through.
Yeah.
What's like watching this episode back and realizing, oh, wait, this is the moment he called that. And nope, I did not remember him saying that.
You know what's funny? I still didn't hear him call it.
What if he ever called it? He might not have ever called it. I think that was a problem. It was sabotage. Conspiracy to get
Amanda
out of there.
All I remember about that night was Dana, because we were in the weeds, and then we were not in the weeds, mm-hmm. and then we started kind of getting momentum, and then Dana went over to the pass, because she was working garnish, and looked at all the tickets, and she looked at me, and she goes, Amanda, do you know you have 3 porks? And I was like, no. And she was like, coming up next. And I was like, fuck. So I ran, I threw 3 porks down. And then next thing you know, Gordon's like, on order, 1 pork. Right. I was like, shit. And as soon as that happened, I knew, I was like, I'm going home tonight. Right. There's nothing I can do about this. And I'm like, I'm telling you guys the truth. I got 20 minutes on that. And Gordon's like, 20 minutes.
That was a problem.
I was like, I mean, do you want it raw or do you want it real? Like,
well, there was a lot of raw stuff because Michelle sends up the raw chicken.
And that's what pissed me off about that whole situation was, like, anytime in Hell's Kitchen, you do not send up raw chicken.
Mm-hmm. I feel like chicken's like a thing that you can't really be messing up.
If you're slicing it at your station, then that is your, like, you own it.
You own
it. You know, like, you can see that it's raw. You throw it back in the oven real quick, and you say, chef, I need 5 more minutes.
Make sure that it's
done. That pissed me off.
Yeah. So there was someone, I can't remember, but raw food goes up again in the Red Kitchen, and this is when the blue team is called over.
The duck,
to basically,
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yep. to save you all, and then boom, you guys get the boot, which
sucks.
Has happened a lot this season.
It's unreal,
he just wants to kick people out this season.
I know.
And so then you all go and deliberate, and then there's the Elise and Michelle show again during the deliberation, which I thought, because of what happened, I thought maybe one of them was going to go up. And that did not happen.
I do not like the way that Elise was handling the situation. However, she was making a very valid point mm-hmm. about Michelle. And I kind of also thought maybe Michelle could be.
Valid point. Yeah.
Could be put up as well. I mean, now if she could have leveled it down to like a 2, like just taking it down.
Right.
Like
just a notch.
Yeah.
Sure. She's got that, you know, strong presence, voice, whatever. She was just making a point. I mean, you know, it's Hell's Kitchen.
She made a point. Yeah.
It's Hell's Kitchen. So during elimination, there's the talking going on, and that's when we see, and it looks like it's going on. And it sounded like Gordon Ramsay was like trying to say something, yep. and then yeah. like the way they edited it, and then they just like,
that
we're still talking.
Went on forever.
Forever.
I remember because like the whole reason I was like, so I don't know if you noticed, but like I was like, thanks for the opportunity, be nice to each other, whatever. And I like peaced out. I had to pee so bad.
Did you really? Because you've been standing there for so long.
I've been standing there forever. And I was like, dude, all I have to do is pee. Like, just get me out of here. I don't care. But he said, Amanda, give me your jacket. And I was like,
I'm
see
out.
You. Like, where's the bathroom?
Where's the bathroom? That's funny. It was between you and Barbie. Mm-hmm. And we talked earlier and you felt like it should have been you, but it doesn't necessarily mean it should have been Barbie. It should have been Elise.
Yeah, I mean, I think Barbie is Barbie is a very strong chef. I think, you know, I think that the red team was better with me than without me, like I said. Mm-hmm. I was really pissed off and bummed up that I had to go, but I had to go, and it is what it is. Like, it's out of my control. Right. So
what a good mentality. What a nice attitude you have.
I got
it.
To, you know, go down to San Diego for a few days and drink a lot of alcohol and
true alcohol, not
yeah.
that not
no
that
like
apple juice.
I got to drink all of the vodka in Southern San Diego,
all of it. Amanda had all of it.
I had
all
411
of you had all of it.
Yes, I slept for a few days and you know, then it was it.
Can imagine.
And I got to go home and see my babies.
That's dope. Aww.
The walk of shame that you do as you exit and you go out the restaurant, mm-hmm. Down the hallway,
mm-hmm.
do they shoot that up top at the beginning of the season, or do they actually shoot that the night?
They
you get
shoot that night, and they shoot it like 5 times at least. But my butt looked really good that time, so I was really excited.
Yeah, I was like, all right, yeah, you got
hilarious. Speaking of Amanda's butt, that's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. No, we do have to wrap, but
King of transitions. Over.
You know, jeez. We do what we can, but
just Google it.
Yeah, it's been a great show. Amanda, thank you so much.
Hand clap
for her being in the studio.
And for the cupcakes.
Yeah, and for the cupcakes. And shout out to Anthony for holding it down and giving the dope head nods and the shakes of the head.
Best while we're talking.
Absolutely. I've been your host, Slim Gonzalez. You can find me at The Poet Saint all day, every day. Ashley, where you at?
Everybody find me online at Ashley on Camera, and let's talk about all the things. Find me there, Ashley on Camera.
Amanda, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Mom Chef Nerd.
Boom.
Fantastic. And don't find me anywhere, guys. You don't want to.
Just terrible. Don't do it.
But it's not Happy Go Jackie, guys.
It's Happy Go Jackie.
I'm going to find you now.
Uh-oh. Oh, you'll be disappointed. Amanda, you'll be disappointed.
Can I have 11 followers now? Yes! All right, y'all. Until next week, we're about to get these cupcakes. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.